This morning, if you were not here last week, I started a series that basically that revolves around the whole idea of family. And because we had Father's Day and VBS and our kids are going to camp this coming week, it's a three-part mini-series that I wanted to just address with one of the most amazing verses that directs our attention to how to raise and be examples and to set the bar as parents, as mentors for our youth, for our kids on a daily basis. And so that's what I want to do. My series is called this: How Do You Leave a Legacy That Outlives Us? How can we leave a legacy that outlives us? And last week, I started off by sharing that the days are long, but the years we have with our kids are very short. The days are long, but the years we have with our kids are very short. And we're taking our main text out of Deuteronomy. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 in our Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 through 7. If you don't have your Bibles or a phone to go to, that's fine. We'll have the words up here. But I want you to go ahead and start turning there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to be in the text from 5 through 7 here this morning. I want us to remember in this text what we went back to is that we need to remember that Moses was addressing the Israelites during this time. The people chosen by God, who were, by the way, slaves, held in captivity, placed in a situation that was not good at all. And this took place not just for a few years. This went on for 400 years. Imagine that, generation after generation after generation after generation. 400 years of captivity, of slavery. Not good times. Long days. And for them, the years seem long as well. Not too short, but they were short for many of them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 through 6, I want to start off by reading. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I talked about last week that it all starts off with that very first word, you. It all starts off with you. It starts off with me. Before we can do anything, before we can be the kind of parents, before we can be the kind of Christians, before we can be anything that God desires us to be, we have to look at us. We have to look at the you part and where we stand in our own personal relationship with Christ. So he addresses right off the bat, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Let's stop there for a second. As I addressed last week, these days were so long. These men and women had been working for these people who they did not want to be working for. And they were also raising their families. Long days of bricklaying, long days of out in the hot sun, long days of tending the fields, long days of no desire to working for their owners and their bosses. This was not like an ordinary day that you and I would be used to, especially my day. In my day, I'm in 72 degrees in a nice climate situation. And the worst thing that could happen to me probably during that day is that some kid gets upset with me about something. That's it. It's a pretty easy life that I'm living. But then something changes for these people. Something goes on where these people are in the complete opposite, in the worst possible situation, and then they got to go home to their families. This is what this place, the article from Theology Work Project wrote about this. And when I was reading this article, I wanted to just see what some theologians and some commentaries wrote about just this one situation right here. And this is what they said. Not only were they enslaved, the Egyptian masters worked the Israelites ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter, not better, bitter. They languished in misery and suffering and in broken spirit. But alongside of that was the long days of the incomparable importance of bearing, raising, protecting, and helping children. The first act of courage, though, not doing those other things, the first act of courage in this book was the act of the mother and the midwives tending to her family. Mothers. I'm not on Father's Day right now. I'm talking to you mothers. Mothers. Can you relate a little bit? When you're raising your children, when you have to give over to the Lord your children, it's not easy. No matter what profession you are in right now, even if you're retired, no matter what profession you're in, your first obligation, your first profession, your first act of courage is being a mother and a father. It starts there, and it ends there. It starts there, and it ends there. You have to be courageous to have kids. You do. Many people end up just wanting kids, and they're so excited. But let me tell you something. You have to have a little bit of courage. It's not easy. Can I get an amen? It's not easy. It's the toughest profession in the world. I've seen military people on the runway of those ships. I've seen people get on the oil tankers. I've seen people do all sorts of things, and they're dangerous. But being a parent takes more active courage than anything. It's not easy, and we do it every single day. Any of you parents out there ever had long days of work? Then you go home to do more work, and then you wait for the weekend to do more work. Think about that. And then sometimes you go with your kids, and especially summertime, and you're longing to go back to work, or the kids to go back to school, or the kids to go to VBS on vacation so you can take a vacation. It's weird how it works, but there's something about that, that it builds and it builds and it builds. And sometimes you just want to be able to have a break because it's long days. Even the Israelites longed to go back. They've been wandering out in the wilderness. And I said last week, it must have been so bad out in the wilderness that you know what they longed to go back to? Slavery, captivity, where they've been for 400 years. It was so bad wandering around, disobeying God, and God showing themselves over and over and over. But Exodus 16:3 says this, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. They moaned, they griped, they complained. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Long days. Kind of like parenting. Kind of like raising families. But the days and the years are short. How many of you guys can remember when your kids were born? You remember when your kids were born? Don't let that cute picture fool you. My kids were crazy. At many times, I felt like I was walking a plank every single day with my kids. There are times that I literally thought I was going to lose my salvation. Putting in car seats, changing diapers, waking up in the middle of the night 3 to 5 times, crying. Not my kids crying. Me crying. There was times that my wife and I, we literally heard kids crying. We both sat up and we both laid right back down. We just looked at each other. And we were so sleep deprived. We didn't even know what was gone. We had two babies less than a year apart, basically twins. That was a funny joke. God has a sense of humor. Long days, and I'm sure that many of you guys can look at your life, and you're looking, and I have to ask the question now, what happened? Where did all that time go? What happened? I was just swimming last Thursday with my kids. We were playing around, throwing a ball in the swimming pool, and I was reminded that I don't have much time with my kids. This is it. They're 14 and 13 years old. I am literally running out of time to be able to invest and to be able to teach and to be able to be there while they're in my house. Can I ask you, if you have kids here today or grandkids right now, what do you want to tell them right now that you have not told them? What do you want to give them now that you have not given them? What do you want to teach them now that you have not yet taught? See, I believe each day we should be a living will. We don't need to wait out. Every single day we should be a living will. We should be willing to go ahead and tell them. We should be going ahead and giving to them. We should go ahead and be teaching them. We should not have to wait until the very end for them to be able to talk about what we should have done when we should be doing it now. We have to be living now. There's a bar that's been raised for each and every single one of us that God has set up through this scripture, through Deuteronomy, what we just read. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. The Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, King Solomon says, life is but a vapor. It's here one moment, and then it's gone the next. Bam, it's gone. But we live this world, we live in this life that we feel like things are going to last forever. Have you realized in your day that that's just not true? Have you realized in your lifetime it's just not true, that time is ticking? I don't want to put a damper on today, but I want to give us a little bit of a state of urgency in our life. We must have a little bit of urgency because it will change the way we live our life. When we're reminded of this truth, something should happen to each and every one of our hearts. Our attitudes, our investments, our intentional conversations that we have with people. We must be intentional with every single thing that we do, especially when it comes to our kids. We got to raise the bar. Easier said than done, though, right? We're going to walk out of here in just a little while, and we're going to go back to normal life. Right now, it may seem like this is VBS, Vacation Bible School. But we are going back to the real life in just a little while. What is something that you're going to hold on to today, hold on to right now, that you can take with you? And when you go into your house and you're sitting there with your family and your kids, what is it that you're going to start doing right now? There are times when I know that I've preached, and there are times that I forget what I taught on and preached on. It goes in and goes out really quick. But what is it something today that you will hold on to, that you will write down, that you will engrave into your heart right now that says, today I'm setting the bar with myself. Today I'm starting off with me, with the you in my life right now. I am making a stand. The bar has now been raised, and I now want to reach that bar. I want to start moving to that goal. But some will say it's easier said than done because, Troy, you don't know my situation. So you don't know my family. You don't know that there's problems going on. You don't know that I have health issues. You don't know that I got financial issues. You don't know that I have this problem that's going on. You don't know it's been a while since I've been to church. You don't know that I struggle here. I'm dealing with this addiction. I've got this. I've got that. Easier said than done, Troy. Nevertheless, God gives us a command. See, it's the one thing that we should go high and deep. Over all of our jobs, over our money, material items, hobbies, even any prestigious position, everybody has got to make a stand. And I mean everybody. Watch this. No matter what your position politically, it don't matter. The position of what he's made, they said he's drawn the line in the sand. And I think in our life, we have to come to that point where we draw the line in the sand, where we say, this part of my life I'm not going to cross over. This part of my life I'm going to invest in my kids. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make the sacrifices. I'm willing to do whatever it's going to take. Even if it's going to cost me this position, this prestigious position. I know what's supposed to come first. And that's dealing with our relationship with the Lord and our family. I like some of these family sayings here. The first one says this. Please excuse the mess. My children are making memories. How easy is it for us to tell them to go ahead and get everything cleaned up while they're here making memories? Next one. What does that say? I can't read that far. Our most treasured heirlooms are the memories of our family. We didn't realize we were making memories. We just knew we were having fun. The greatest legacy, my whole sermon's over, we can leave our children is happy memories. And time stands still best in moments that looks suspiciously like ordinary life. Which leads me to the second point. Time stands still best in moments that look suspiciously like ordinary life. Extraordinary parenting happens in ordinary moments. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. I love this whole idea of teach. This whole idea of teach in the Greek is talking about the whole idea of impressing on them, impressing the things of truth, impressing on the things of biblical truths to your children, impressing on them in a way that's going to last forever that's going to leave a legacy. One of the things that I got here is just this whole idea of engraving. It's not a piece of paper. It's not going to get all wadded up. This whole idea of having this engraving, to having this sketched in, to having this impressed, it's not going anywhere. I keep this, and what if we are impressing, what if we are engraving like a plaque into the things that we really want our kids to know the very most, to be diligent, to be intentional. The most respected profession back in this day was to be a teacher, was to be a rabbi, to be a teacher of God's word. And let me tell you something. It's supposed to not just be with the teacher. It's supposed to be taught at home. Most of the teaching was done at home. Inscribing, impressing, engraving. So God is telling us, these people, every single day, you must wake up and raise the bar. And all the ordinary things in each day, when you sit down, when you get up, when you walk along, when you're out in the front yard, when you're getting ice cream, when you're at the grocery store, when you're reading your stories to your kids or your grandparents, or your grandparents too, and your grandkids. Every morning when I take my kids to school, we always talk on the way there, and every time they get out, when they walk out of my car, that's when I pray. I pray for them from their school all the way to my school. That's my time alone. Turn off the radio, turn everything else out, and I pray for my kids the whole time. I don't tell you this to act like more spiritual. I tell you this because that is engraved in my life. That's commitment. That's the bar that I set to want to be able to pray for my kids. Ordinary times like that. I didn't come here to my church. I didn't get to the altar. I didn't try to light some candles. I didn't dim the lights. I didn't put on soft music. I didn't try to do all these things to get close to God, to feel like that was the time I could pray for my kids. In the ordinary part of life, we can be making a difference. The meals together. You know how many people don't even eat together anymore? Or it's always done in front of the TV, or everybody's there and then every single iPhone is all out and nobody's talking except for they're texting each other across the table. And before bedtime, the most cherished things are during before bedtime. The mundane, the ordinary moments, the scrapes and the falls, the ice cream, riding bikes, teaching them how to ride bikes, homework together, and even during broken hearts. Parents, have you had to deal with any broken hearts? Have you had to come to your kids and tell them, hey, things aren't working out right now between mom and dad? Have you ever had to tell them? Have you ever had to talk to them during broken heart times? There's something powerful about that. See, because I believe without a doubt that God is working through the hard times just as much as he's working through the good times. I believe that this not always where we're always on this mountaintop experience. Matter of fact, we're mainly down in the valleys and we're working through the valleys. And that's when God is working. That's when God is teaching us. That's when we are growing the very, very most. During the hard times, the storms, the depression, the financial crisis, the marriage problems, the health concerns, the valley of uncertainty, the valley of fear, the valley of confusion, the valley of detours and making decisions, the valley of suffering, the valley of change, trying to decide what is going on with us, the valley of discouragement, the valley of correction, the valley of conviction, the valley of our sin, and the valley of the shadow of death. That's when God is at its best. In the mundane, the hard times that we go through, get ready, be ready for God to be at work in your life. And what an opportunity it is. Not to try to hide it all from your kids, but allow your kids to be able to see this is real life. This is real life. I do believe as a counselor, there's times that you need to have your disclosed times with your spouse and talk about things and discuss things and watch things. But they're going to watch. Matter of fact, more things are caught than taught any ever a day. They're watching. More things are going to be caught. How you talk to your spouse, it's caught. How you attend church, it's caught. How you deal with people at the grocery store, it's caught. How you end up driving on I-30, it's caught. How you talk to one kid over another kid, it's caught. You don't have to teach. Your actions and your words are teaching it for you. It's being caught. Be encouraged. Because the same thing can also be caught, how you're living your life and what you're doing for the Lord, and how you treat your wife and how you treat your husband and how you treat your family and how you treat other people. It makes a big difference. I used to think, to be honest with you, if I'm being vulnerable, back in college, I was at Texas Tech. I had a two-story apartment that I lived. I lived upstairs. And before, the funny part is this, is before I would do any homework, I cleaned the whole entire house. I guess I was procrastinating. But I always felt like I needed to go ahead and get everything clean so my mind was set, ready to go, and then I would then start studying. Once everything, I had my snacks, my drink. Everything was vacuumed, dusted, smelled good, candles lit, everything was great. Then I could study. And then all of a sudden, you know what I started doing? I started carrying that over to my spiritual life. I wouldn't have any quiet time until I literally cleaned everything up. I got my book open to John 3:16, just in case. Candles lit, snacks ready to go, everything looking good, everything was all fine, beautiful. And then I could sit down and start studying God's Word. Well, that lasted about 2 days. And what I realized is that I can't get ready enough for God to do His work. I think so often that we're always looking, sometimes, at least for me, I was looking for the perfect situations to then get right with God. Let me fix this first in my life, and then I'll get closer to you. Let me retire first. Let me go ahead and buy the house. Let me go ahead and get things paid off before I give. Let me go ahead and do this and do that. And guess what? What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching ourselves? I started realizing that God was at work in all different situations. Matter of fact, He was more at work in the mundane, the ordinary parts of life than He was when I was trying to prepare to get everything all right. I wasn't getting closer to God when I got everything cleaned up. I was getting closer to God when He was putting me through the valleys of times that was tough. When people would knock on the door. When people would... Friends of mine said, hey, he's been in his room for literally for 4 days. He hadn't come out yet. He's depressed. Hey, I need you right now to teach a class. Hey, right now I need you to do this. Hey, right now I need you to go to the hospital. Hey, I need, well, let me get all cleaned up first. Let me take my shower first. Let me do this. Let me pay this off. Let me get ready for this. Let me attend church first. And God is saying, no, we need to be ready. We always need to be prepared. We need to stand firm. There are some biblical concepts that we need to do, and that is to always be prepared to give ourselves over to the Lord. The bar has already been set. I've been in the ministry since 1989, close to 30 years. I've been a dad for 14 years, and not once has my kids ever come to me, ever, and said, Daddy, I've taken out the trash, and I'm ready for you to teach me God's word now. It's never happened. It's never going to happen. Never. Ever. We got to be ready. Extraordinary parenting and ministry happens in ordinary moments that God has planned, not us. Not us. Would you look for the ordinary things and find yourself doing extraordinary things for God? It's okay. That's the way we live, that we're in the valley. I want to close with this. This verse has to get engraved in our hearts. This verse has to get engraved. What do you need right now in your life to impress, engrave in you? Before you can move to the kids, what does God need to engrave in you? What's he saying to you today? What's he impressing upon you today? What's going to be sketched into you that's going to last beyond you? Notice I keep on saying you because that's what it started off with. Starts off with me. Before I can move to my kids, to my spouse, to my work, to my schools, to my neighborhoods, to my professions, and be able to make a line in the sand and risk everything. What did that guy say? He sketched something. He engraved in something, and he didn't care about what anybody thought. It's not about politics. I didn't care who said that. Because whatever that person said, whoever would have said it, that was biblical. That was a biblical thing. VBS is over. My sermon's over. Now we got to go home. What are you going to do? What did you take with you today that's not going to be forgotten in 15 minutes over lunch? What can you sketch? What will God engrave in you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, first of all, to be able to have these parents come today and to bring their children not only to a week of VBS, but to an opportunity to worship you. I can only imagine what heaven looked like and how the angels were singing and smiling with you as kids. We're doing hand motions and worshiping and singing and dancing with joy for you. And so I pray that God, not only you bless the children, but you would bless each parent here today for their willingness to get up, for their willingness to bring their kids, for their willingness to engrave in their hearts what is most important. You've given us a standard. You've given us a command. You've given us a bar that's going to be very difficult for us to reach. And as we come back next week, as I wrap up this series, I'm going to ask a question that I hope each and every single one of us will be able to hear. I pray that God, that you would bless each person. I pray that God, if you're speaking to them today, that you would bring them up to the altar to either confess, to give thanks, to reunite, to make a commitment, to get engraved what needs to happen in their day and in their life. The legacy that's going to last and outlast us is what we engrave today. And we take this time right now to honor you and give you thanks and praise you. In Christ's name, amen.